This is The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by Namdeb, mining for good.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our spotlight this evening, I'm joined by no other than the Minister of Education, Arts and Culture, Sanet Steenkamp. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Angie, for having me.
Who is Sanet Steenkamp? Where did you grow up? Tell us who Sanet Steenkamp is.
I wouldn't know where to start this. I'm being seen as complex, but I'm actually a very ordinary person. I was born in Karasburg in the far south, and my mom passed on when I was 13. So we grew up in a very loving and caring family with a grandfather. We are seven altogether. And I guess, you know, Karasburg will always have a very, very special place in my heart. And I had the most amazing and very extraordinary, actually a remarkable time when I went for my first official trip to the South and experienced once again just the love and the warmth of the people. So, yeah, I'm a Karasburg girl, but I've always have been interested to work elsewhere. You know, much as you love your town, you just know that there's something better out there. In a world that must be conquered, in a world where you think you can make a contribution. So that time we still had stars in the eyes and you wanted to go somewhere. And I just told myself, I wish to go and contribute in a different culture. And that's what I did. So I spent 18 years up north. That time the administrative towns were still called Ondangwa East, the regions, Ondangwa East and Ondangwa West. So I spent 18 years up in the north. And I must also tell you, it has been the most remarkable time of my life was when I was working in the north and going through the ranks in public service. So in my heart and in my soul, I am a public servant.
Can you tell us about your journey into education? What inspired you to go on that path?
Well, actually, I think it happened by chance. I was on my way after grade 12, on my way on the train to Windhoek to come and enroll at the University of Namibia. And that time, I wasn't sure what I was going to study. And my aunt said, but obviously you're going to do a degree. And I said, but will be my majors. And she said, well, you think about psychology, definitely Afrikaans. And so that's how you do it. I did my first degree. And then I realized, but it's not all. Life doesn't end there. And so I requested them to get more funding to do a postgraduate. And then I knew when I did my first degree, then I knew I wanted to be in the teaching field. And so I did my postgraduate diploma, still at the University of Namibia, and that qualified me as a fully qualified life skills teacher. And I taught for 2 years in Chumap, doing obviously grades 8 and 9, Afrikaans, English, and life skills. And that is how the love for teaching just continued to grow. But I started off as an unqualified teacher because I got pregnant in my first year of university towards the end. And I am also somebody who appreciates second chances. And I will never stop believing in people and never stop believing that there's always hope that surrounds us. And we must always sometimes be the hope for others. So somebody else gave me a second chance to say, but I need teachers. Are you prepared? And I said, yes. But I'm pregnant. And he said, it's fine. Just come. And so I started off as an unqualified teacher, but I always knew that there's more to life and that I do not just want to be a teacher. The teacher is the most beautiful profession. I knew that you make impact. And for a long time, I missed being a teacher because that's where your first real touch and impact is, in the classroom. But I also had aspirations to be a facilitator, and that's how I became a school counselor. I wanted them to work with teachers, knowing the worth and the value that they bring. So that is how my love for education started, actually.
Then you've been part of the education sector for many, many years. What has kept you passionate about it?
The people. I think we are nothing without the people that surround us. We are nothing with the people that influence us. We are nothing about the people for whom we want to bring a difference. So I worked for 18 years, as I said, up north. And it is just, you want to change the world when you are young. But I realized up north, if you change the life of one or two families, or if you change the life of one child, a child who's deaf, and you create opportunities for that child, you create opportunities for families. So that is, I think, the love for people and the fact that I thrive around people. I'm a people's person. And, you know, the warmth, the energy, the intellect, just that, the humanity. So I worked for 10 years in Oshana Nomasati regions as a school counselor and a chief school counselor. And then eventually I moved to Ohangwena as a deputy director and a regional director, where I stayed 8 years. So the fondest and the most remarkable time I spent up north. And because you get to understand how cultures are influencing everyday lives, how heritage, and I think everything is just moving together. The culture, the heritage, the people, and with everything around that, you always just aspire to do good and to always do what is right and fair and just. But I also said, Angie, it's the most difficult thing to do the right thing, because you'll be met with obstacles. But in my career, that is some of the pillars that keep me going, is to say, keep on doing the right thing, even if you have to fight to get people to people's buy-in, even if you have to stand alone. I will maintain that it's very, very difficult to continuously do what is right, but we must all aspire to that.
What do you consider your proudest moment in your career?
Well, I don't know. My career. I've always loved what I've done. So it helps that you love what you do.
Yes.
That's the first thing I want to say. What is my proudest moment? Well, I don't know. All I can say is that I'm extremely proud that I managed to do my studies part-time. And that it has taken me a while, my doctoral degree, but I'm finally there where I'm going to graduate.
Wow, congratulations.
So, yes, so 10th of October, God willing, and we are all alive and well, I'll be crossing, you know, that stage where I will be kept for my doctorate. I think it because of the level of sacrifices, the long hours at night, after work as an executive director, you still go home. You don't want to sit with your books and your studies. So there was a deep level of discipline that I had to maintain. Sometimes you just want to sleep, and sometimes you don't even want to hear about a study or the chapters that you're writing and working on. However, I think for me, it's the tenacity. That you know that even if you sit until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, you still need to report for work. So I am proud in the sense and very grateful for the people who surround me. My husband has been very, very supportive on this journey of mine, and my family members, you know, people at work. My proudest, I would say, is if there's an achievement that I want to highlight in this career, is that I have forged ahead and completed my studies, which was extremely difficult, but also an incredible journey for me. And yeah, I would say that.
What is your vision for Namibia's education system in the next 5 years?
Return to the basics. That's my vision. It may sound very strange. Invest at the right level. We must invest in early childhood development. We must raise more awareness about the first 1,000 days of a child's life, from birth up to the age of 2. Those are incredibly important, that we understand that we must invest in early childhood education. We must invest in pre-primary education. We must cut out the repetition rates, the wastages in the system, internal inefficiencies, where you still have a lot of children dropping out, you know, throughout the system. So if you want to get an uplift education and educate the child in all his or her facets holistically, you must invest in sport. You must invest in making them have the resources, access to resources, whether it's as simple as books, And that is why for this year we've increased our budget for tech, for textbooks with another 11 million that will go in, out in complement. So we have to ensure that from early childhood development up to the TVET system, the academic route, which are your universities, to develop that holistic person right throughout. And I wouldn't want to see children dropping out of school. Those are dreams lost. Those are identities. Those are jobs, opportunities that are lost. There will be no contribution economically to our country. And we will be forced to look into welfare of the children, health-related issues. So why not getting it right now? So it is my dream that we need to invest as a country, not just our funding, but our time and energy, and get it right while children are still small.
What legacy would you like to leave behind as the Minister of Education?
Well, I think in terms of legacy, other people will have to talk about how they have experienced me, what impact did I make, but I would want to believe that I've made purposeful and meaningful impact in the life of the children, that children are growing up happy and healthy. I know I can't be responsible for that, but that when they come to the classroom, that they receive the attention that they need to get in terms of teaching and learning. I would have loved to have a transformational impact, but that's not for me to decide. What I can do is all within the means that is provided, but also to say that I can only give my level best, and that's a promise and an oath that I took, that I will serve my country and its people, her people, our people, to the best of my ability, with integrity and with honesty and with hard work. And that's what I will do. That's what I'm doing. And I can't do it alone. I need everyone to support us. But in terms of a legacy is for others to decide what impact I have made. And for us just to, I always tell my team, do what is right and what is fair and what is just. And we are guided by constitutional powers and the legal frameworks that we are operating in. So it's a difficult question to answer.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think everybody wants to be remembered for doing good. And for me, it's about making the impact.
Minister, thank you so much for taking time for us.
It was absolutely delightful to be with you. Thank you, Angie, for making the time and for having me.
That was The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by NAMDEB, Mining for Good.